Okay, well, thanks for pouring back in there. I didn't want you to miss this because we had got a little scuttlebutt going that some of you hadn't experienced a very fun video we sent out recently. So for those of you who have, it's so worth seeing again. And for those of you who haven't, watch this.
Hi, I'm JR. You may recognize where I'm at. That's right. I'm here in the dining hall, Mount Hermon. Many of you have been here, enjoyed meals here, had great conversations around these tables, eating off these plates. Dining hall is one of the most active places when you're here at camp. In fact, the moments in there where you get down, you gather, and you become refreshed are very important moments. As important as a great experience out in the recreation zone, or maybe even a great session in the auditorium. But most of you have never been in this area. This is our kitchen area. Did you know that we serve over 32,000 guests each year out of this kitchen? In family camps alone, we use over 467,392 plates, 273,476 pieces of silverware. Not to mention all the pots, pans, platters, trays, and everything else that goes into the whole process. Now think about this. We could not provide all this amazing food and these meals without one very important piece of machinery. That's our dishwasher. We need your help to replace the dishwasher. Why? Because the dishwasher was installed 28 years ago and it's had a good run. In fact, it's been running 8 years longer than it was intended for. But you know what? Bad things can happen if it breaks down. And this isn't just a little job where we've replaced one piece of machinery for another. No, no, no. This is a major overhaul, major renovation. How major? We're talking months. Specifically, 3 months to complete this job. So you might be asking, what are we gonna do in the meantime? Well, that's a great question. We're gonna load all those dishes right in here. And then we're gonna take them downstairs on a little trip where we've set up a temporary dishwasher. And those dishes are gonna take this trip over and over and over again. In fact, maybe as many as 15 times during one meal. And that is a lot of awkward elevator music. So, here's the bonus. Once the renovation is completed, the floors are done, the walls are completed, the new dishwasher's installed, we're gonna take the temporary dishwasher downstairs, we're gonna ship it up to Ponderosa Lodge. Boom, double win. Now, I cannot express to you how important this project is for everybody. Mike, what are you doing, man?
Washing dishes.
What are you supposed to be doing?
Running camp.
And what are you gonna do if we don't get a new dishwasher?
Keep washing dishes.
That's what we don't want. So please, push the button below. Help us, help Mike, not have to wash the dishes. And by the way, next time you come to Mount Hermon, let me know. I'd love to share a meal with you.
Okay, so isn't that worth a twofer for those of you who have seen it? Who just saw that for the very first time? Oh, criminy, check your emails. What's wrong with you people? Oh my gosh. Isn't that great? You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Mayhem. Those Allstate commercials, you know, I'm a raccoon, I'm in the attic, I'm chewing up the insulation. Anyway, so you heard that, those of you who got the appeal in the mail and those of you who saw the video, and I want you to know, we are blown away by your generosity. We are already at $101,000. That, the total price tag is $189. That is the highest return we've ever had on a spring appeal like that. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That is a foundational capital project. All righty? Anyway, so we want to thank you very much. Okay, on that note, we've had a great response the last couple years with a little Q&A time. So we thought we would do it again. We got about 15 minutes, and we'd love for you all to have an opportunity to ask a few questions before we head on to the next section. So we're going to have JR and Mike and Nate and Dale come on up here. Lisa and I are going to be microphone runners. Here we go. Excuse me. Okay, and Andrew's going to tell us when it's time to cut it off. All righty.
Notice that they gave me 7 words on that video. That's what thought my ability was. They start me off slow.
Here's what I like. Mike says he was imitating JR. Goes dishwasher, and I said, well, he's from Ohio. I mean, what can we say? So, okay, looks like we got one with Donna right here.
Hi, I'd just like to ask, Mike, we really are so glad to have you here and in this job. And when we're praying for you specifically, what is it that you would want us to be praying for you in your job here, being the head guy?
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And I know that a number of you have said that you do pray for me and for us. That means a lot to us. I think the prayers are different from a year ago, where it was transition and family and all those things about the transitions. I think this year I'm really excited for this year. This is my first week of year two, and just seeing where God has forward, moving us forward. I would say probably more than anything else, I would use words like wisdom and courage and joy. Those have been what I've been focusing on personally, and that'd be great if you could pray for those things. Thank you.
Okay, I got one back here. Gil Millis, I am not surprised. Okay, he's always got great questions.
Thank you, Carrie. This is a question for Nate, I guess. The adventure course, the Redwood Canopy and all that seems to be making... it's packed out with people. Seems like it's making a lot of money. So I'm wondering, budget-wise, if it's making a lot of money, how is that helping? And kind of where's that? I think maybe there'd be a lot of profit from that. So kind of how much money is it making and where is that going?
Good question. It does that. It does make money, which is great. And I think that that's something that I'm actually passionate about in terms of my ministry role. You know, we are a nonprofit ministry, absolutely, but being nonprofit doesn't mean that you can't generate revenues, because it actually takes revenues to make all this stuff happen. So, you know, we have to be fiscally responsible. We have to be good stewards of our programs and of our facilities and kind of everything else. So, yeah, that is definitely part of the adventure ministry's benefit and blessing. And some other folks could probably speak to this as well, but Mount Hermon does run at an operational deficit, which basically means we need the support of amazing folks like you to keep the lights on every year. And right now, that's around a 20% operational deficit, which is pretty much in line with where most nonprofit ministries operate. So that means we need to fundraise about 20% of our annual operations. Without what has happened in the Adventure Ministries arena, though, for the last, you know, several years, that operational deficit might be more like 30 or 35%. So really, the revenues go to supporting all of the ministries at Mount Hermon and just help, really help support all the ministries at Mount Hermon. I think that's the best
great answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just curious about that, maybe to Lisa or the others, about Felton Metal, but I'm just curious at what really happened at that meeting where all those people were there and what the general community reaction was to the great plans for Felton Metal that were presented to the community.
I'll do that one, sure. I think that by and large, the community reaction is very positive, and I don't want you to have I guess I don't want you guys to feel like the community is not behind the project, because that's absolutely not true. You know, by and large, the neighbors, the local business community, the local politicians, as much as they're able into an election year, you know, they're all supportive of the project. So it's a very small but very vocal minority of folks that have concerns about the project, and I think, as Dale has said, you know, their concerns are not illegitimate. They're legitimate concerns, but we've also been able to address them within the county codes and the correct development procedures. So by and large, people are really excited about the project. The mountain bike community is really excited about the project, but I've also spoken with a number of parents in particular that are really excited about the idea that there's going to be some helpful, positive activities for their young people to do in the valley. And there's going to be, they're also really excited there's going to be jobs for high school and, you know, post-high school age young people to do in the Valley with Mount Hermon that they regard as a great employer and just a really helpful place for their kids to work.
One of the purposes of the meeting was to be able to show those in opposition and the politicians that there actually is quite a bit of positive in the community. And it did that, thankfully. We didn't know exactly how it was going to go, who was going to show up. And I think if I was in the room and was in opposition, I'd be like, wow, this is actually something people really want here. So it really was positive. I have to admit, way more than I thought it would be. So I'm very grateful. Yeah.
We had very little opposition in that room that was vocalized, at least.
I was wondering, with the exploding Hispanic and Asian population in this greater area, and as I look today, you know, very few, are there proactive programs going along to reach out more and minister to them?
You know what? This is where it's helpful to be here year-round. We actually have quite a few guest groups that are Asian and Hispanic. That, in particular, the Asian churches, for whatever reason, seem to even put a higher priority on retreats than the Anglo ones do. So that's really, really growing. Do we have a strategy to bring in those people specifically to include in this group? No. We don't. Maybe JR has a strategy that I don't know about.
No, I don't have a strategy, but I did want to mention this as Mike was sharing. You know, Mike and Roger Williams are wired differently. Would you agree? But let me tell you what's not different, which I've picked up from him in the first year repeatedly, is a incredible passion and commitment and determination to reach out in greater and greater ways, effectively, through as God will provide for Mount Hermon to be able to do that. So know that that remains. Know that we all agree it's important, and know from the top down that that's a priority.
Thanks. Right down, Lisa.
Right down here. Lisa, right here.
She's coming.
I'm so excited about this Fountain Meadows that I can't wait to invite kids and people that I know. If it all goes as planned, when will it be up and running?
Last year.
Wow.
Running, right?
What?
If it went as planned, it'd already be running. Yeah. Yes.
So the question, when will it be running? So if all goes well, if there aren't any more major issues, landmines, you know, things, then we're hoping to break ground this time next year. So April 15th is when you can start your grading season. And that's what we're going to go into first is for a grading permit, which is a lot easier than a building permit. So our hope is that next year, April 15th or by May, we will be breaking ground.
One just parenthesis on that, however, is, and I'll be talking about this in a little bit, but there's a lot of money that has to be raised before we can start
that,
doing
yeah.
all that. So there's more than just the EIR obstacle and approval obstacles. We have a great God who's going to provide, but we need that as well.
Okay, hang on, Robert. I'll get you.
Dale, could you speak to the gentleman that stood up at that meeting and he mentioned that he had things to do with Mount Hermon? He was not a Christian, but he had dealings with Mount Hermon. And what he had said to the audience that.
Do you remember the question that the man before him basically said, are you going to shove Jesus down our throats?
Right.
Right? And then this guy stood up and he said, I've never, I'm a non-Christian. Go ahead, Dale. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. No. you were doing a great job there. Right, there was a, and add to that, because I may not remember all of it. There was a gentleman that stood up in the meeting, and people were standing up, and you know, yeah, you're a Christian organization, and yeah, are you going to jam Jesus down our throat, and is this all going to be, you know? And a gentleman stood up, and we didn't prompt him, we didn't even know him, and he stood up and said, you know, I just felt like I needed to stand up and say something. I've dealt with Mount Hermon on various things. I've come to Mount Hermon. I'm not part of Mount Hermon. You know, I don't even know if he was a Christian. I don't think
he said
was.
He was.
He
not
said
a
he
Christian.
Wasn't a Christian, but you know, I've been to the basketball league and I've done things at Mount Hermon, and they've never, ever, you know, been that way. They've always been kind. They've always been loving. They've always served us well, and that is not the attitude, and that is not what I see at Mount Hermon. And so, no, that's not what I believe is going to happen.
And I think the way he addressed it in such a perfect way, because I think the question came from a context of fear, and he addressed it in my opinion, in a perfect way that said, "Look, you have nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing but good, appropriate, and gracious."
Okay, we got one from Robert here.
Hi, I recall when the Canopy Tour first went in. Quite a while ago now, it was presented sort of as phase one, and there was intended to be expansion further down the creek, and that ran into property issues and got backburnered. Is that still on the books, or is it pretty much what it is now?
I think right now it's pretty much what it is right now, and Dale can probably speak to this a little bit more as well. But yeah, originally it was envisioned as what we had was phase one, and then phase two kind of went on down the canyon corridor and actually ended somewhere right down around here, which would be great. But really once we got opened, the county was kind of like, whoa, wait, what's going on up there? You know, like what's happening? So they didn't tell us we needed a permit. There's really nothing in the Uniform Building Code that you can apply to a canopy zipline tour because it's not a house, you know, it's not a porch, it's not a water closet. Like, what do you do with it, you know? So they so anyway, but they have at least, you know, told us that they would like us to do some environmental impact report stuff in the riparian corridor if we're going to add on to the canopy tour. So as of right now, that process is what I would consider prohibitively expensive to add a couple more zip lines. So, and that's another part of the reason why we added on to the Sequoia Aerial Adventure Course. With it in its existing footprint in our existing site master plan, we were able to do that expansion without triggering any county scrutiny.
I'm looking around. I can't see. I know he was here last night. Is Walter here? Walter, are you here right now? Walter, 98 years old. He went on it when he was 92. 92. He's our champ.
So that means all of you that are 90-plus, if you want to add 6 or 7 years to your life, do the canopy tour.
This is, just so you know, Robert is the last question, y'all. Okay, so thank you. Go ahead, Robert.
Hi, I'm one of those Asian people, my wife and I. And we met two other couples, too. At this, I think we're the only ones. But my question was, and this is for the associate people, JR and Carrie, you mentioned that as January 2017, that the new people joining will be at the $1,000 limit. Asian people look for good deals, so if I go out and tell my friends this summer, invite them and tell them to join, are you okay with that?
Get in now.
You're okay?
Tick tock, tick tock.
Because
Robert,
I'm going to do that.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right on. What do you say we start a contest to see how many?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, can we have a matching plan, please? Okay.
But in that same note, I want to mention this. And this is the kind of feedback that's so valuable for us. So I was having a cup of coffee this morning with Chris. Was it Chris? Yeah. And long story short, and this may cross one of your minds also. She said, you know, I have a son who's early 30s. They've got their school loans paid off. They love Mount Hermon. And they've been thinking about becoming an associate. But the $1,000 might just be too much, and that might be discouraging to them. Now, by the way, there's always going to be these unique situations, but two things. Number one, I thanked Chris, and I said, you know, thank you for telling us that, and that's something we need to think about in the future. But what you need to tell your son is he needs to get started between now and the end of the year, and then he can rack in here about $500. But seriously, honestly, he can write in. He can say, you know what, we want to become part of Mount Hermon. We can't do, but here's $44 a month, and we'd like to be an associate, and boom, they're in. And we will address that going forward, but thank you for bringing that up.
And on that note, we also have a program that unfortunately is way too undercover, but it's a program called 28 to 28. So if you have kids or grandkids or know young people that are under 28 years of age, for $28 a month until they're 28, they become associates, okay? So it's a more doable thing for those kids who want to be an associate, you know, until they can make a little more money, okay? Hey,
Carrie, I have one request. Okay. Real quick, because I wanted to say this at the end of my presentation. So for Felton Meadow, we are having one of the roadblocks right now is the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They have to make a determination, and we just simply can't get them to make it. If there's anybody in this group, in a group this large, there may be somebody that knows somebody with the Army Corps of Engineers or somebody I can contact, that would be great. That would get us going. Thank you.
Just pull them back. Good. Well, I'm going to ask for two of our trusted trustees, how's that, to come up here. Renee Schleffer and Ron DeMoller, would you come on up? Now,
I know most of you are thinking, at last we're going to hear about the trustees. It's been wonderful hearing about all the building projects and all the great things in Mount Hermon's
future. It's not
time
for you to talk yet.
This is what we came for. Thank you, Mike.
So
it's dangerous to give us microphones, us pastors. Go on.
Before I was, anyway. So let me just tell you quickly, first of all, I got too many things in my hands, that a trustee is different than a board of director. A board of director, they're more of a policy board and overlook the policies at this place. Trustees are a smaller group, and they look over the spiritual care and protection of this place. Ron DeMoller is the chairman of that group, and Renee is one of the others in the group.
Specifically, they said, I can't be the chairman, but that's okay. I still enjoy being on the trustees.
Can I have my glasses back, mm-hmm. please?
Sure.
So I sent out the questions to Renee and Ron that I was going to ask him today. And Renee wrote back. So question number one was, what is your personal connection to Mount Hermon? And he wrote back, I first came to Mount Hermon as well on a work release program from prison.
And that's true, by the way.
Second, I asked, what exactly does a Mount Hermon trustee do and why? And he said, most of our rituals remain secret to the initiated. But in our public ceremonies, we imitate the call of our spirit animal guides. Third question, I'm not even going to say his answer because it could get him into trouble. And fourth, how can we best pray for Mount Hermon at this time in its history? And he said, pray that my influence on the rest of the sober-minded trustees will be negligible.
Yeah.
Thank you for getting that for me. So, Ron. if you don't know, you should know, but Ron has been on staff here for 4 decades. On top of that, decided to retire fully so that he could be a trustee. Because you can't be on staff and be a trustee. That's how highly he took this role of importance. And he is a mentor to more people than I can ever imagine and continues to be and has started to become one to me. And I'm so grateful for Ron and Jackie. Renee is a local pastor at Twin Lakes Church. He's now my pastor.
Yay.
Yeah, and I love him as my pastor. He and Lori have become dear friends. And Renee preaches here. Lori speaks here. And he has a dynamic church down the road. And so anyway, glad for you both to be up here representing the trustees. Thank you for doing that. And Ron... I'm going to skip the first question because I just answered it. Tell us, what exactly does a Mount Hermon trustee do and why, are you a part of that?
Okay, well, there was a change in the last 3 years in terms of the trustees and the directors and how we relate to each other, and I think it's been a positive change, and we are more defined now in terms of evaluating the ministry that takes place here. And we're basically charged to make sure that we continue with our original charter, which is to lift up Jesus Christ and teach the scriptures. And you know, there's been a lot of institutions that started out that way and over a period of time have gone different directions, whether negative or positive. And we're basically here to make sure that we continue in what our forefathers had set up for the organization in perpetuity.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
This is a gross oversimplification. When I said gross, Carrie said, what? This is an oversimplification, but the board's mission is to make sure that Mount Hermon stays on budget, and the trustees' mission is to make sure Mount Hermon stays on message. A lot of organizations have great boards that do a great job with the organization's finances and building programs and other programs, but they get off message, like Yale University, Harvard, Goodwill Industries, all clearly wonderful leading organizations in this country, but you know, every single one of those started out as an evangelical Christian ministry. And they had great boards and great directors, and they got so oriented toward parts of their mission that they forgot their original main mission. You hear the phrase, you can't see the forest for the trees, when people are so focused on individual trees that they miss the big picture. The trustees are all about the big picture. And that's really the purpose, to make sure that with all of these buildings, with all of these camps, with all these great programs, adventure sports, Mount Hermon could do anything, whether it's a cafe or an adventure sports program or have a university up here. But if they don't stay on message, then it's not really advancing the kingdom. So that's what we're here for, to see the forest.
So, yeah. Incredibly important group. Jane and I, when we interviewed... we just connected immediately with this group and loved their hearts. And Renee,
yes.
And we'll go to Ron for this. Why is a place like Mount Hermon spiritually important in a culture like we have today?
Well, I think it's spiritually important for the same reasons it was important of the culture in the first century. And you say there weren't any conference centers in the first century. I think the whole Jesus movement was like what we all experience here at Mount Hermon. If you think about the way that the Christian community was first explained, like at the end of Acts chapter 2, where they're all together, they're eating together, they're listening to the apostles teaching together, they're worshiping together, they're growing together, they're meeting daily together, that doesn't sound like church anymore because we're all so busy with our lives. But where do we get to experience that exact picture? It's when we come to a family camp. It's when our kids come to their camps. It's when we come to conferences. And when we come with family members who may be not committed to Christ yet, or maybe just starting their life of Christ, and they see that Acts 2 picture unfolding here at Mount Hermon, I think that is a powerful testimony to Jesus Christ. And as we all know from the statistics that were shared earlier, it's one of the most powerful things you can do for evangelism and discipleship. So that's why this is an important place to continue.
I can't improve on that. That was good. Well
done.
Thank
you, Ron.
That was better than your other answer.
Yes, I agree.
So how can we best pray for Mount Hermon at this time in its history? Ron, how can we best pray for Mount Hermon?
Well, my thoughts are, you know, I am just so excited at what I see happening. And I need to say something to Bill Fernald and publicly, because when I watched that video earlier with all of the different groups that were represented in that thing, that's been my heart since I came here. And to be honest with you, when I first came here, we were a pretty Caucasian-oriented ministry. And you just think about the whole Bay Area and all of the groups that have moved here in the last few years and are part of our community. And it just seemed like we were not being represented in that community. So when I saw that, I just started crying, because that's been something. And I could never get it done when I was working here. But Bill has found a way to do it, and it's just blessed me. So I agree. So my prayer is that we'll continue to have an influence to raise up Jesus Christ and teach the scriptures to all the people in the Bay Area, and make that, that they'd all be represented here. And that's something that my prayer it's fun to see it being answered, but there's so much more we can do. So,
well, to know how to pray for the trustees, you may be wondering about the mechanics of how do we make sure Mount Hermon stays on mission. The trustees just meet a few times a year, but we get emails more often than that where we're asked to approve all the speakers that speak here at Mount Hermon. And we're asked to kind of keep our fingers on the pulse of the kinds of ministries that take place here. All the trustees not only are speakers like I am sometimes, but we also come up, I come up all through the year at different events because I'm blessed by them, but also in my role as a trustee, just to see what the atmosphere is like, to see the kinds of things that the speakers are emphasizing. I think it was Donald Gray Barnhouse, the famous old pastor, who said that he always loved to go visit the children's Sunday schools, any place he spoke, and he would watch to see what kind of lessons were given to the Sunday schools. And he said, sadly, in over 90% of the Sunday schools I visited, I heard this message. You could boil it down to try harder to be a good boy, to be a good girl. And he said, I realized that was probably just reflecting the emphasis of the pastor of that church. He said, where the Christian message can just subtly shift to behavior orientation, be better, try harder. And so one of the things the trustees have to do is through our approval of speakers and through just seeing the atmosphere at Mount Hermon is to make sure that the message here isn't shifting to that. Make sure it stays focused on the gospel. And that's a simple task, but it's more difficult to do than you can imagine. So we would appreciate your prayers that we don't micromanage. We're not, you know, bugging Mike or the directors about all kinds of little details, but that what we are able to effectively do is to make sure that the overarching message of Mount Hermon is a message about the gospel of Jesus Christ that transforms lives. Appreciate your prayer.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, sir.
And Mike, Sue Cairns, are you here?
Yeah, Sue's here.
Sue, yep. Please stand up. Sue
she's on our trustees.
A trustee. And she's probably the longest reigning trustee we have on our group. And then we have Robin Spurlock, who's from the church. We have Steve Zeisler, who was our teacher yesterday for the day of prayer in the morning. He was there. And then we've just added Gary Godini from the Peninsula Covenant Church, who will be joining us. And we are just a great group, and we love being together and working together.
It's great. So they're all people who have been engaged really intimately with Mount Hermon in the past, either as employees or as speakers, and that's deliberate, so that they really get what is going on and what's possible.
Very good.
That's so great. I love you guys. Thanks so much. Thanks for coming up. So you might be wondering if I'm going to preach, and I would love to, but I'm going to not. I'm going to just tell you what's on my heart and share with you about this place and what this first year has been, what a difference a year makes. You know, it was a year ago, you know, this week that I showed up on the scene, and last aim at this time of year was my very first weekend here, and Jane and the kids flew out, and then we had an installation service on the Friday night, last night, which was a night we'll never forget. I know a number of you are here. And so we've experienced an entire lap now at Mount Hermon. And I want to show you our year in pictures, if you will. I want to show you what this year's been like, and hope that by seeing this, you also see a picture of a Mount Hermon that's here for an entire year and not just for a weekend or a week of summer or whenever you might come. And so these are pictures that I've just taken on my phone this year. And so they might not be the most highest quality as far as great photography, but it shares this year. So first one is Jane and I, where we are here for AIM, and we are on this platform. And it's a weekend we'll never forget. We were welcomed by you with love and opened arms, and we're so grateful for that. And then not long after that, I stayed here in at Mount Hermon. Jane and the kids went back to Colorado. And then a few weeks later, I flew back to Colorado for Noelle's graduation. Noelle graduated from Arapahoe High School, and that's us smothering her with kisses. And Noelle's in the back there, standing up there, and she had a special day. And then we got on an airplane that afternoon and headed to L.A. because our daughter Aubrey was graduating the next day from Biola University in Southern California. So it was kind of a crazy time as a family, as we were in the midst of transition. I was living here. They were living in Colorado. We had two graduations. We flew back to Colorado, had parties. I came back here for a week and then flew back to Denver, and then was moving day. And moving day, you know how moving days are. They're filled with emotion, and they're filled with exhaustion, and even with a professional moving company, all of that happened. The hardest moment was after everything was cleared out, we walked through, as a family, through our rooms and in the house. And I still get emotional thinking about that time as we cried as a family, as we loved that place so much and had so many great memories there. Excuse me. So we arrived to Mount Hermon, five of the six of us, and one stayed in Denver, and now we have two in Denver. But summer staff was here, and this is a picture of me with the childcare staff. One of the nights of that week prior to when family camp start, when the summer staff is here, and they are working literally till 11 o'clock at night, getting everything ready in their rooms, and the energy that came with them, the excitement that came with them was incredible. One of the greatest joys that we had our first year was getting to know summer staffers, and we look forward to them coming here in just a month again. Also, one of our great joys is we got to hang out with some incredible people this last year. Jill and Stuart Briscoe, one of the great privileges that we have is to get to hang out with some of the speakers and leaders that come through here, and just has enriched our life in ways that we could have never thought of what would happen. And then this is all in chronological order. We went week three of the summer to Kidder Creek, and we got to be there with Andy and Emily and Craig and Jen and Tim and Carol and all of them up there, and we had a wonderful time. And then there's a great picture here of Noel with Andy Warkin decorating his beard, which we've heard never has happened before or since. And I love her face. She looks a little mischievous there. But we begin to learn about this amazing place called Kidder Creek. And we got to raft, and we got to horseback ride, and we got to see the hearts that are there and the impact. And Camp Hope that goes there and reaches out to kids that normally would never be able to have an experience like that, that are affected by domestic violence. And so it's a great, great place up there. And then we came back and engaged more into family camp for the summer. You see this picture of six friends that was taken right out here. We were worshiping, and I saw these six friends all with their shirts that matched, and I went out and I took a picture of them. And we see this, you know, at family camp where families come together, friends come together. And the couple on the right, the wife sent me an email about halfway through this year and said, we're in the picture that you took. We're on the far right. She reminded me of this picture. And she said, our marriage was really at a crisis when we came to Mount Hermon. And I want you to know that because of the time at Mount Hermon and God's work, our marriage has a complete turnaround. And so we're just so great to hear about stories like that. And then in July, we had a wonderful event for us as a family. And our oldest daughter, Megan, got engaged to Eric Etter. And there they are. That's right by the crow's nest down in Santa Cruz. And you notice the ring is being shown off there. And they get married right here at Youth Memorial on June 5th, coming up here. Our first wedding as a family, and hopefully our last. No, I'm sorry. no, we have four kids, and one's right here. He's like, what? And no, I'm sorry. Just teasing. Just talking as a financial thought there. But we're really excited for them. We love Eric, and they're going to be still living in Denver after, you know, they get married and all that. But a great, great celebration for us. And then a few weeks later, my parents and my whole family came to family camp, which they do every year. I started coming as a six-year-old boy, like many of you know. My parents have not missed in over 40 years, and they always pay for the whole family. That's 26 people usually. they now have grandkids in their 30s, and rarely does anybody ever miss because they still love us. Some only come for a few days if that's all they can do, but still, almost always everybody gets here. That's the priority of the family. And this picture is of my mom being carried up to my office in a wheelchair because there's no elevators in the building there. And the joy in her face, and that's Eric, our future son-in-law, there on the right, and some other friends that carried her up. And to be able to have my mom and dad in my office of a place that they love so much and poured themselves into was just a really special moment as a son, as you can imagine. They do want a refund on all the money that they spent on me all these years to come here, but that hasn't been given to them yet. And then when you look out from my office, you see the bridge. The bridge that I've grown to love over the years. As a little kid, I used to run on that bridge and hold my dad's hand on that bridge, and then our kids did that with us on that bridge. I wrote an article about that bridge in one of the magazines we have. And then to see scenes like this throughout the summer of kids learning about Jesus on that bridge. Something about that old bridge that I just really love. Caleb, even at one time, counted all the wood slots. How much? 266 altogether there of boards. He must have been bored that day. But anyway, that's we love the bridge. And then, as if you've been here on a family camp, you know that on Friday nights we go down to Victory Circle. Victory Circle is that place where people share what God has done in their life throughout the week, and amazing stories are told of what God has done. God still works in amazing, incredible, impactful ways here every single week. Then at the end of summer, we were saying goodbye to our summer staff, and they had the summer staff prom over in the field house, and it was a great celebration. And you can see there's a court there of, you know, the king and queen and princess and all that, and this amazing octopus that Andrew and his team put together. That's now in our house. But one of the most important ministries of Mount Hermon is the ministry to our summer staff. Although they're here to minister to others, what they take away from a summer here is life transforming. And we have the opportunity to pour our lives into these mainly college students, and they go away not the same. What a great privilege we have in that way. And then this picture is the last day of family camp's over. Summer is over, and there's Jane, and those are my feet, and that's our dog, Baxter, and if anybody wants a dog, just come on over. I have to admit, I loved summer, but I was ready for it to be over. But then I've learned that 9 months is too long in between. So we're going to do summer twice a year from now on. That's my new directive. But I am looking forward to the vibrancy that comes with this place alive all the days, not just the weekends. And then not long after that, we had a luncheon with our volunteers. We have so many volunteers here, and this is just one of the tables. We were over in like the Ben Lomond area up the 9. How many of you are volunteers here? I know a lot of you are here. Yeah, look around. Look at all these people. In the last year, approximately 24,000 hours of volunteers, volunteer hours has been given here by some amazing people. We worked that out to be, and that's paying someone full-time for 12 years. That's what that equals out to. From mailers to the dining hall to electrical work to consulting us, helping us in different areas, it's huge. And the cost that we would have to pay if we didn't have all these volunteers is beyond thinkable. So we're so grateful for them. And then we had the Samuelson Pavilion groundbreaking ceremony. It was a dream for over a decade or more for this, and just Schaefer Cox there speaking, and we had a gathering there, and that was a special time as the dreams continue to be met by the Lord in his timing. And then on a personal note, our daughter Noelle then went off to Germany. That's her at the San Jose Airport, and she was studied with Torchbearers International in Bodensee-Hof in Germany. And that was a great experience for her, and she's back, and she's getting ready to, after summer, she'll be on summer staff and then off to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And then I came across a very interesting activity that I didn't really know happened around here, and that is all these guys are taking down the dammed up area down by the boats and letting the water flow for the fish and all of that stuff, and then they have to redo all of that again and get it all set in June for the summer. That's like a major job, and it's a dirty job. And there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes here that I never knew about, and I'm sure that most of you don't ever know about, and there's we're just so grateful for these kinds of things that are done around here. And then I want to show you a picture of these guys that are with me. On the far left is Dathan Brown, Gary Wingert, and myself, and we are there suffering for Jesus at Pismo Beach. Dathan is the head of Hume Lake Christian Camp. Gary's the head of Forest Home. And it's known as the three H's, I found out. Home, Herman, and Hume. And right away, we connected in a deep way. They've already become dear friends in 1 year. We've spent several times together this year, and we look forward to more times in the future. And I just want you to know that we have partnerships with Heart and in other ways with these camps, which is really special. And there's zero, I mean that, zero competition. It's all good. It's really fantastic. Yeah. And then throughout the fall, we did a bunch of events called ARC events. Some of you were at our ARC events, which means an Associate Regional Celebration. We went to 6 different locations, and this is after the last one, and we decided to enjoy dinner together as a team. And different combinations of this team would come to these events, and we'd share about Mount Herman. And some of you actually have hosted those that are in this room. Some of you attended those, and we're going to have more this next year. And we'd love for you to come out to those events as we got to travel around and see different people and enjoy that in a great way. And then I want to show you a picture of a bunch of other people that you might not know who they are. You see Dathan and Gary there with me. Those are again Hume and Forrest Holman. I guess we always sit in the same order, I guess. But the other guys around there, these are the leaders of the largest camps in North America. Pine Cove, Spring Hill, Kanakuk, Glen Eyrie in Colorado, Muskoka Woods up in Canada, then the three H's. And I found out that this group gets together every 6 months, just encourage each other to learn from each other, peer learning. And so I got to enjoy that and have more times ahead and enjoying those guys. Great guys, and already I'm texting and calling, and what do you do with this, and how do you do that, and they've been terrific to me, really helpful to me. And then I want to show you this picture. It was grandparent and kid weekend, and there's Chafer and a number of the team here, and if you've ever seen the movie Up, these are like the wilderness explorers from Up, it was a wonderful weekend, and I just wanted you to know, I mean, you heard some of this, you saw the video of the guest groups. But also with guest groups and with Mount Herman putting on all sorts of other conferences throughout the year, from blended families to men's retreats to women's retreats to reflective retreats, parent-child retreats, riders, Alzheimer's, all-comers, you name it. Actually, we did have one for Alzheimer's events and then all-comers. And when I spoke at all-comers, I actually said Alzheimer's once accidentally. Sorry. I still feel bad about that. We have all sorts of other guest groups and church groups that come here. This place is being used all the time. It's incredible. And then Christmas rolled around. Christmas felt a little different. There was nothing white on the ground here. But it's very pretty here. And here's a circle tree. If you've ever been here at Christmas time, that's all lit up. And this place is all lit up with white lights. And we have Christmas concerts and banquets. And we end up having our entire family and future son-in-law that came and enjoyed Christmas with us, except for Noelle, who was in Germany. She was overseas at the time. And we Skyped her in and had her on the TV and did Christmas with her. And that was cool. As you saw already, the Samuelson Pavilion is in the... This is the early stages of construction. But I wanted to tell you about some other projects that went on. You've already heard about Sequoia and the ropes courses, and also a new area in the Redwood Camp with that. Also a seating area over by the registration building, if you haven't seen that. It's beautifully done there. Bookshop renovation, if you haven't been in there, go in there. It's been renovated and looks very nice. Even if you go down to the pool, I don't know if it's done yet, but as of a week ago, they were working on all those railroad ties that go down, redoing all of that. because it needs that done. Dining room, I don't know if you noticed that you could actually hear when somebody spoke in there. So we have new speakers and all that and new sound equipment in there. Auditorium, this is a new projector, new screen. We're going to have new monitors outside. So a lot of projects going on this year, which is really neat to see. And then I wanted to show you this. I don't know if you know about this, about our Canopy Tour, but it's called the Twinkle Tour. It happens wintertime. It happens at night. So they light up the platforms with Christmas lights, and you jump out into the dark. And we did that as a family, and we also did it as a family in the dark in the rain, and not just a little drizzle like yesterday, but a rain. And we were soaked, and it's a memory we'll never forget. It was actually very fun. And by the way, you zip a little faster when there's water on the line, we found out. And when the water hits your eyes, you can't really see when the guy's got his light on his arm saying, slow down, you know, because of the... So it's just, bam, it's really exciting. It's really fun, and we had a great time. But I don't know if you know this, but some 20-some thousand people zip on that line in a given year. Crazy, isn't it? 20,000 plus are here. Next one, I just have to gloat. Those are my Denver Broncos. Put this thing back on, would you? Yeah. Did you guys see the score from the Rockies Giants game the other night? Oh, beautiful. Not last night, but the other night. All right, keep going. I'm running out of time. I want to show you this because these are a number of our people from our maintenance staff and facility staff and grounds and all of that. They had never had a retreat in their life. And they went on a retreat down in by Monterey. This was a dinner. I got to be a part of that. And often these are the thankless crew around here who do so much, but nobody knows what they do. There is never an end to the needs here. Never an end. And there's not enough help. And these individuals work hard. And they love this place. And we have grown to love them very much. And I don't know if you know this, probably most of you don't, but there's a group of them that every single morning before work, they come 20 minutes early before they clock in and they have a Bible study, start their day, and then they serve the Lord here. It's fantastic. Two more. Hymn Sings. We have Hymn Sings. We have one that's coming this Thursday as well throughout the year. We have concerts that go on, you know, on Saturday nights in the summer. We have concerts at Christmas time and big buffets. So this room is often filled with music and praise to God, which is great throughout the year. And then we got back a day and a week ago from this crew on the Danube in Eastern Europe. That literally is our ship, the River Aria. That's Jubilee Church right behind it. That's Vienna. And Jane and my room is right here. I asked for a big window for claustrophobic reasons. But a number of you are here. Raise your hand if you went on that trip. Look at all these people that went on this trip. 120 of us. It was awesome. Four countries, incredible. So next time we go, I hope that you'll come with us. And we had never done a cruise of any kind. Highly recommend a river cruise. It was just amazing and soothing and peaceful, and we saw beautiful places and great people and all of that. We got back a week ago, and so that was year number one. Year number one. And here's what I've discovered by being here a year at Mount Hermon. It's busy year-round. I've learned that our staff are really, really good at what they do. Really good. We have a great staff with incredible hearts, love the Lord, and love this place, and love you. And I'm grateful for that. I learned that God works on a weekly basis, sometimes daily basis in this place. I knew that, but didn't see it. Confirms it. I learned that there are significant challenges and even greater opportunities ahead. And I'm going to dive into those just real quick, and I have a few more minutes to do that. So let me walk through some of the challenges that we are facing. I think if any group wants to hear that and needs to hear that, it's you, because you're our prayer warriors, you're our financial supporters. You're our encouragers. And so I want to go through these challenges with you and then tell you about some of our opportunities as well. Obviously, there's been a leadership transition. A new leader came in. Roger was here for 21 years. And as JR mentioned, we're very different. Roger and I were dear, dear friends. Love Roger dearly and miss him. And we have similar hearts in many ways, and yet we're very different leaders as far as how we do things. So transition happens with that. And new staff structure just got into put into place this week after talking about it for 6-7 months. And finally worked all that out and just to kind of fit my leadership and the complexity of this place and those types of things. So that's been going on. You'll have to ask the staff what they really think. And then just staffing issues is a challenge for us with the economy, what we can pay people, the benefits that we can provide for them. Even summer staff applications have really been low compared to normal this year because students can get a lot more money somewhere else. And we're having a trouble filling up everything that we need to fill up, which is pretty rare around here. One of the reasons for that is cost of living. You know, if you live in the Bay Area, which most of you do, it's one of the most expensive housing markets. Santa Cruz County's in the top area of most expensive housing markets. We are the most expensive medical area in the country. And it's tough to bring people to camp, to give them wages to live in a place like this. And to provide housing and et cetera, et cetera. It is a huge challenge that we're facing in front of us. I can't score how big this challenge is for us, and to be able to get top people and to retain top people. I mean, my hope is nobody needs to get rich here, but my hope is that people wouldn't leave because of money. If they leave, they leave because of the call of God, but they don't leave because of money. They don't leave because of benefits. They don't leave because of housing. So these are real difficult issues, and that's why we've made a decision to increase the level of an associate to 1,000, encourage you to be able to just be very generous. And also, we have made decisions that we're going to be starting to increase rates to come to camp. There's been very minimal rate increase since the 08, 09, downturn. And so we've kind of held at that level, but everything has gone up really high. If you go to hotels, if you try to rent places, et cetera, everything's gone up. And we've pretty much stayed pretty close to where we were. And so we're not going to get crazy with that. We're going to be very careful with that. But at the same time, we need to increase rates to be able to run this place in this very expensive area. So we have a lot of funding issues, a lot of funding needs. And one of the things that we began in January is I put together a team. I called the Future Planning Team. And we are diligently working on Mount Hermon as a whole for the future when it comes to our facilities. And it is it can feel a little overwhelming at times. JR is here shaking his head. He's on this team. And we're looking at everything from Felton Meadow to renovations of our current facilities here in conference grounds to deferred maintenance. Those are things that you probably hardly ever see that are underground and all that. Debt retirement, we're at $6 million of debt. Redwood Camp facilities that have cabins that have been going back for, 60-plus years. Ponderosa needs a lot of work. Staff housing, which I continue to mention, we just don't have enough of it. And if we can't provide staff housing, how can people on what we pay them be able to live here? That's the bottom line there. Parking issues, not all the time, but on certain times we get really overloaded parking. And then what JR and Carrie talked about last night, the difference, the $2 million a year. You add all of that up, that doesn't include a new, auditorium and things like that someday will need to be done. That's easily a $35 million chunk, what I just mentioned. That's just to get things like in order. And we know we have a great God that can do all of that. At the same time, we know there's a line between faith and foolishness. And so when I talk about wisdom and courage and things like that, that's some of the things that are behind that, that we need great wisdom to know what's faith and what's foolishness and moving forward. And so pray along those lines, if you would. with regards to that. And give our board, pray for our board to have great wisdom, because we will be handing these things to our board and asking them to come up with, we'll have recommendations, but for them to come up with the decisions of what we need to do with that. But here's what I know. I know this in our own personal finances. I know that in the church finances as a pastor, and I know that for 110 years at Mount Hermon, and that's this, that God provides for what he wants accomplished. Always does, always will. He will provide for what he wants accomplished. And there might be things that we'd say, well, we had this on our wish list, it didn't happen. God didn't want it done. And we're okay with that. We've already talked about Felton Meadow Project and all the efforts that are going on there. But all of this comes to the last, for me, challenge that to me is the most important, and that is reaching people for Jesus Christ. That is a challenge until the end of time. There is a true enemy named Satan who would love to blow apart a place like Mount Hermon. That's why I believe God's protection has been upon this place, because Satan would love to cause a harm of this place, because what happens here, our lives are truly transformed and changed. I come and Jane comes with a huge heart to see people give their life to Christ. I'll talk about that just in a little bit. But we're in our ever-changing culture where we have to continue to be aware of culture and never losing our foundation, but to figure out how to reach the next generations for Jesus Christ. And we're deeply committed to that, reaching our culture for Christ. Now, with all of this, I'm encouraged that our staff is on board and highly committed. I'm encouraged that our attendance has been being strengthened and improving. We're very grateful for that. I'm encouraged that our past is a reminder of a God-blessed future. And I'm encouraged that there are literally people all over the country and literally parts of the world who love this place, who pray for this place, are committed to this place, and support this place. I hear it everywhere I go. Mount Hermon. Love that place. I was there when I was, you know, so old, and I had this incredible experience, and it's amazing. And I'm encouraged that our God is on the throne and continues to be very much in the business of transforming lives. You agree? Yeah. So what are our opportunities with this? This became very simple to me just a few months back, as I was, quite honestly, a little overwhelmed with all the changes in my own life and trying to figure out a complex place like this. And then on top of that, all of the needs that seem to be here and the challenges. And then one day, it just got really simple for me. And that's what God does. He just takes and says, let's just figure out what this is really all about. And I realize that our opportunities are found lying within our mission. Our mission was articulated and written down back in September 17th of 1994, which is when it was officially the mission that it is today. It's not like it's different than the mission before, but it's just articulated on that day when Roger Williams was the leader here. And it goes like this. Our mission is to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, teach the authoritative word of God, and serve his church in our nation and throughout the world. Let me say that again. Our mission is to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, teach the authoritative word of God, and serve his church in our nation and throughout the world. And when I saw that, it just got really simple. We're about evangelism, proclaiming Jesus, proclaiming the gospel as Lord and Savior. Lord, he's in charge, and he's the one who saves. That we're about teaching the authoritative word of God. That's really, I love the wording because it is the authoritative word of God. I believe so deeply that God's word in and of itself changes lives. And that's one of the great commitments of this place. We are so committed to not straying away from the authoritative word of God. And serving, coming alongside the local church, as we are a parachurch organization, we come alongside that. And I love where our mission is lives transformed. And if you've ever noticed, there's a little period there. Remember when Roger Williams first told me about lives transformed, and he told me about the little period. He got really excited about the period. That's what we're about, lives transformed, period. And I got so excited about that. I went back to Mission Hills, our church, and said, I'd like to make our mission just transform lives, period. I just inverted it with permission from Roger, so I wasn't completely copying. And because that's ultimately what it's about, the transformation of lives. People who don't have a faith in Christ have a faith in Christ. For those who have a marriage that's broken, to be healed. People who have been through addiction to have victory over addiction. To people who are in depression to have victory over that. Transformation that comes through the work of God. And this place is a place that fosters that like no other in my life. And Jane and I just have a deep heart for evangelism, to see people to go from darkness into light. And that's such a key part here. Tens of thousands of people, I don't know the number, only God knows the number, have given their life to Christ through the ministry here. And they continue to be focused on the teaching of the Word of God and then serving along the church. And we have lots of groups that come here from churches. And most all of us attend a church, and we are an extension of those churches as well. And it's a great privilege to serve along the church. So if we keep our main focus, evangelism, teaching, and serving, I think we're going to be okay. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it simple. I have a quote I want to show you from C.S. Lewis that says, life is made up of first things and second things. Get the first things in place, and the second will follow. On a personal note, I want you to know I feel very honored and privileged to be tapped on the shoulder by the Lord for Jane and I to be a part of this incredible place. And it's something we take very seriously and we're very grateful for. I ask for your prayers, as was asked for earlier, and I had on here wisdom, courage, and joy, that you would pray for those things for me. I want to say publicly I'm very grateful for our staff, who have put up with a new leader. They have been kind to us, and they are not only skilled and gifted, but their hearts are in the right place. I'm grateful for our board of directors and for our trustees. You never know how that's going to mesh, how that's going to work. It has meshed and worked wonderfully. I love our board, and I love our trustees, and I look forward to the meetings. Isn't that a joy? To look forward to board meetings, look forward to trustee meetings because of who they are. And I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you for caring enough to come this weekend, for being generous with your resources, for praying, for serving, and for encouraging us. It means more than you'll ever know. So thank you for that. Because we're in this together. We need your prayers. We need your help. We need your input. We need your support. We need your friendship. And you have ours as well. And so we're very grateful. And so I'm going to pray, and then JR is going to come up and close us up. So thank you so much for coming. We look forward to seeing you hopefully another time this year. And let's bow in prayer. Lord, thank you for this gathering and for each one that's here and what this gathering means, that it's people who believe in this, your ministry here, and love this place. Lord, what a privilege it is to be a part of this ministry, to walk alongside so many wonderful people, but ultimately, Lord, to serve you. It is a great joy to serve you. It's not always easy. There's difficult things that come up. There's burdens to be carried. But Lord, may we keep it simple to be about evangelism, telling people about you, about your love for them, about how you have the plan of salvation, and how you are the only way. Lord, to teach your word authoritatively, knowing that it changes lives because it's your word. And Lord, to serve, come alongside the church, and to partner, and to serve, and to help. Lord, we're grateful. Thank you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, JR.
Thank you, Mike. You know, as Mike was wrapping up there, I was thinking of this. You know, Mike, we are all behind you. And I look at this first year a lot like I there's an analogy to when Laura and I got married about 33 years ago. And, you know, we loved each other and we knew each other. I mean, we knew each other well, hopefully. You know, when you get married, you know each other well. And so we couldn't imagine the challenges of that first year. I don't know if anybody else has experienced a challenging first year of marriage. You know, what the heck is going on here? But we were committed. And we made a vow, not just to ourselves, but to our Heavenly Father. And so, Mike, first year of marriage is over, bro. Full speed ahead. Full speed ahead. And that's just the thought that came to my mind. A couple of things. Wanted to say thank you. Really, thank you so much for being with us in every way, shape, or form. It just means the world to us. And there's incredible opportunity ahead. And we fully believe the best days of Mount Hermon lie straight ahead of us. And if you believe that too, then just stay right here with us. A couple of reminders. Checkout time is 1:30. We'd appreciate that you would try to hit that as close as possible. We do have to turn the place over and keep this show going. I want to thank the AV crew for the amazing job that they've done here. Yeah, just been absolutely spectacular. And they were working here up to the last minute, getting a new projector installed literally yesterday. It was just incredible. So thank you, guys. I want to thank all the staff that took time to prepare and participate and really reflect and share from your hearts. I hope that blessed you and you feel a little more informed. And I want to thank whoever else that needs to be thanked, and I forgot to thank, okay? So, it's 12:20. We are right on schedule, and so we're going to go have some more food, and that'll be awesome, won't it? Thank you for coming. Those of you that don't know this, we also do an Associates Weekend in the summer, which is designed for those associates that couldn't be with us this weekend. I will mention this, though. If you have someone that you would really like to introduce to Mount Hermon, that maybe God would touch them and connect them in a similar way that you have been, that invitation really is extended to you as a venue to bring them, as far as that's concerned. But generally, we're looking to open up the doors to other folks that could make it to this one, or especially our younger associates that can bring their children. We design that weekend in such a way that we can hopefully facilitate them in a little great way. Mike just prayed, but let me just pray for the food that we're going to consume, and then we can just get over there and not, you know, do anything except eat. All right? So let's pray. Father, thank you for this weekend. Just thank you for being here with us and blessing our time. And now as we get ready to go over and enjoy some more food, we thank you for that. We thank you for the hands that prepared it. And safe travels for each and every person that's going to be heading home today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Thanks for coming, you guys.